Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn that the Gen Z students are hungry. You're going to learn about a doctor who turned into a welder, that collaboration is for problem solving, and to attract new talent, it's about networking.
Our guest today is Matt Scott, a guy from the Getter Done generation, winning the lottery every day by teaching and supporting the growth of our welding pool in the U.S. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to the show, Brad Herter. How you doing, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. The March weather has been phenomenal here. The golf season has started early in the state of Wisconsin, and there's no snow, no nothing. We're waiting for the second winter or third winter possibly to come yet. But right now, we're going to enjoy the first spring.
Ooh, yeah. For those that play golf, I can see how this is nice.
It's extra. It's bonus rounds for the year. So it's all good.
Right? It's always good. So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
So we have awesome guest today, Mr. Matt Scott, a welding instructor at the Portland Community College. His welding career began at high school when his metal shop teacher told him to go get a job at this local fab shop down the road, shoot him away. That path led him to bridge work and his ultimate goal in the piping industry. And he's been training and testing welders for over 30 years and finds immense joy in helping his students and share that success with them and be able to give and teach. So to have a mentor, have a teacher, have somebody in the welding industry from upon which I've spent many years in my own right, we're blessed to have Mr. Matt Scott with us today.
Welcome, hey, Matt.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you allowing me to jump on.
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime.
I can't wait to hear some of your stories.
Yeah. So before we jump into that, Matt, I usually always forget this, but which generation do you best fit in with or identify with?
So I got to tell you, the whole generation thing, man, I thought to myself, I'm going to do a little research. I know I was born in 1966, but I thought to myself, I was raised by a mother and father that were hardworking and they were just about getting her done. So if I was to say I was in a generation, I would call it the GRD generation. Getting her done generation, because that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
it was the firm hug or the firm hand that when you got your chores done I'm a Gen Xer, right there just at the beginning of it. I was the typical latchkey kid. Yep. My folks ended up getting divorced, so I was on my own walking to school. It was uphill both ways, by the
way. Both ways.
Absolutely.
It was only a half mile, but I'm going to tell you it's 10 miles because it was, my feet were smaller then, right? But that's where I guess I identify with, but really it's part of it's being raised by folks that came up through the Great Depression and, the baby boomers, and it's the work ethic that they had to establish to kind of grit and grind through it definitely transferred to me and my other five other siblings. And we're just grinders, we're just going to we're going to get her done. what is Jason Aldean song? We're going to work till we get it done.
Yep.
And that's kind of where we're at. But anyhow, I could go on, but yeah.
Right. So, all right. So let's contrast that to your current position. And so we'll get to the history of that, but you're now teaching, at Portland Community College, where you're teaching probably mostly Gen Zs, possibly some millennials, or maybe some Xers that are trying to reskill, relearn, recertify, those types of things. How have you seen, or what are you seeing from the characteristic differences within those generations that you've been teaching for the last few years or so?
I think
you didn't know this was going to be like 60 minutes, did you?
Yeah. I think I'm going to answer it this way. The pandemic has wiped it clean. Before pandemic, you had those students that were hungry and wanting to get after it. There's some that were there like testing the waters. Is welding fabrication for me? But once we opened after the pandemic, we came back to a brand new shop. I don't know the gods of whatever, right? We had a remodel in our shop. So now I walk into our shop and it's a $6 million beautiful facility. And
great.
The students that have come back are just hungry. They just want to be there. So I teach the morning with a colleague of mine, Dave Williams, as well as Zach Tuttle. And we have an influx, like 50% of our class is recently graduated high school students, and they are
okay.
And, you know, we had a, speaking of weather at the beginning of the show, we're talking about weather, right? Well, we had a little week here in Portland, Oregon, that we had some snow shut down. So we lost a week. So we're like, hey, we open from 7 to noon, but we're going to open at 6:30. And if you guys want to jump in and make up that time, we're here. And they're coming in and they're hungry and they're like not letting us get away. They're grabbing us, getting us to the booth, asking amazing questions, wanting details. And there's a synergy there that's happening that is just fun to see. And it's given me issues in my life because here I am. I'm 30 years in the saddle at Portland Community College. I'm ready to retire, but I'm not. I got a brand new shop to work in. These students are amazing. And, you know, one anecdote is that we had at Portland Community College, we've got a lot of services that makes us, I think, a super cool college. But our job placement specialist came in and she was doing her song and dance up there. And she's like, well, you know, who's used my services? And I had one kid raise his hand. I mean, he just graduated from high school the year before. And, he was like, oh, yeah, I did. I went to that career fair. And then, oh, by the way, I met Frank Manning at the career fair, who's the president of Diversified Marine. And, oh, by the way, I worked for him as a welder last summer. And oh, yeah, I made $15,000 and I'm barely 19. Oh, by the way, $15,000 and I'm barely 19. And he's welding up master butts where, you know, that's the ship goes apart. It's not going to be very fun.
Right.
So he had the skill. And when I had him in class, he's doing amazing work. And all of that time and that effort that he put in is this ROI. It's ROI, baby. And he got it in the pocket. And now he's, you know, going to be graduating. And if you follow me on Instagram, you might see a post of him in the quote, should I walk or not? Because he just had the conversation with me about his mom saying, you're going to walk graduation, right? And he's like, I don't know. So we're going to let the public decide.
The answer is 1,000 yes. Yep. That doesn't mean you have to pay for the whole thing. So my college graduation, I actually got home before my guests got home because I went across the stage and walked straight out, got in my car and came home. And everybody's like, nice. Why are you home already? I'm like, because you wanted me to see me walk, and I walked and I came home afterwards. And they're like, we stayed for the whole thing. I said, that's not my fault.
Yeah. Brad, I'm going to let them watch this for sure then, because I'll give them the idea to cut out early. But no, it's just such a landmark. It's just so thrilling to see these kids work so hard and, you know, do so well.
Right.
And they're getting jobs and they're getting good jobs.
So what is the age group that we're talking about for these kids right now? Are we really truly talking about our Gen Zs? You know,
I would say, 20s? You know, we're looking from 18 to probably 30 years old, somewhere in there.
Okay. So that's the younger millennial and the older Gen Zs. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the morning. Demographics change a little bit because we have an afternoon and an evening. But crazy enough, we will have kind of, I want to say professionals, but you know, I consider welders professionals too. But you know, we have doctors and lawyers come in, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this last year, we had a local doc come in and he's ready to retire. And I'm like, gosh, man, you look familiar. So my mind is just kind of spinning. I'm like, I know you. You're looking familiar.
You did my colonoscopy, didn't you?
No, that was the other one. I got another story on that one, but anyhow, I'm looking at this guy and kind of come to find out, you know, he was my wife and my best friend's doc, and he was a cancer surgeon. So we went to one meeting, one appointment with our friend to support her, and I'm just like, dude. But he came in, and you know, laparoscopic surgery. He was like the amazing welder. I'm just
TIG welder 101 for sure. I bet.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But in his retirement, he bought the farm, and he was out. Other side of Mount Hood, and he bought a farm and he had a shop in it. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just want to learn use tools. And you know, he grew up in Montana, so you know, he he knew all about the farming and all that. But anyhow,
The reason for asking is you're talking about how hungry your students are, mm-hmm. and there's a whether it's a misconception or it's a perception that certain generations aren't hungry, and they're, well, just say it now, they're lazy. Mm-hmm. So when it's actually refreshing to hear that you actually have quote unquote hungry students that are actually wanting to learn and how to better themselves. And that's amazing.
Yeah. I spent a lot of years coaching youth sports. And I'll say this, but don't take it negatively, 'cause I mean it in the positive way. I'm a button pusher. I am looking for the button to push on you to encourage you to get to that next level, right?
Oh, yeah. That's such an asshole. God damn it. I don't want to go to practice, Mom. I don't want to go to practice, Mom. He's an asshole.
but that button is so different for so many people. Right. And, you know, that's kind of how I approach my class. It's like, man, I am here. I'm going to give it all to you. And guess what? Right. You've got two other instructors on the floor ready to do the same. And there's this synergy amongst us that kind of just like flows over, bleeds over, whatever you want to call it, to our group. And they're just hungry. And there's a lot of times if you know, can I dare say my Instagram account, you know, if you follow
whatever you want, man.
If you want to follow me, PCC Welding RC or on LinkedIn where I met Brad, right. You know, I try to post up, and that's the other thing I try to do is I'm trying to highlight these students. And what was super
and you cool. You do an amazing job of that, Matt. Oh, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah.
When I see those posts, I see those things, I see kids doing things that they don't necessarily feel like doing, or most people don't think kids can do those things. I used to mentor FIRST Robotics for a bunch of years at the high school level. Okay. And we had an amazing, one of our mentors was just a fantastic dude, worked for GE Medical, was their maintenance guy, but was just patient as all get out, great teacher. So we're teaching aluminum welding. Not always the easiest thing to do, but teaching some thin gauge aluminum welding. One of our kids took some 16th butt joint weld together. He's 14, 15 years old or whatever. This thing's gorgeous. And he's going on, he wants to take a hammer, beat the shit out of him. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that with this one. You can do it with some other ones, but this one is like perfect. Because if he wants, if you want to go someplace in the summer and go get a job or go whatever, and you're going to say, I can weld, they're going to laugh you out. But as soon as you put that down, you go, I just did this. That test coupon you have in front of you is your calling card to get the conversation. You go, oh, okay, this is real. Yeah. And you promoting your students in the way you do and what you're showing out there is phenomenal. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. But it's pretty easy in the sense too, because like, you know, we just had this gal, single mom, lived a mile or two from Rock Creek campus at Portland Community College. We have three locations. Rock Creek is kind of like the center, which is the largest shop. We have a shop in Scappoose, Oregon, which is Oregon Manufacturers Innovation Center, Portland Community College. And then we have, I would call it a shop at Ground Zero. This our Portland Community College shipyard shop is actually within the shipyard for Vigor Industrial. So we have building 10 there. And we built out a maritime program, obviously, to go there. But because we are multi-campus, we can teach it anywhere. So I had this gal come in, and we kind of tracked her all the way from not knowing welding to getting her certification. Mm-hmm. And now she works for Vigor Industrial. But the comments I got from Vigor Industrial on LinkedIn, like, I remember Sarah when she came out to our first job fair. It's just kind of like that kind of gave me the idea like, hey, we're going to start once these, you know, if Hey, Trent, if you don't walk across the stage, you're not going to get featured on LinkedIn to get that next job. I don't
know. There you go.
We'll hold that carrot somehow, right? We'll push that button. But anyhow, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because, you know, when you start talking about education and how we offer education in America, it is it's interesting to me because with three of my kids, my son never really liked English. He didn't want to study Shakespeare. And he was very focused on what he was focused. When he was a baseball player, I would see him make plays where it wouldn't be like, I feel the grounder at third and I'm going to go to first. It's like, I look at first, can't get that. I'm the second. No, I got third. But no, you know, he was just, you could see his mind rapid fire. Mm-hmm. And, but the school didn't interest him. So when he went off to college and playing baseball and doing a little class, 3 years into it, he said, well, you know, it's time to hang up my cleats, because in the summer he would come back during his baseball season and he would take welding. And mm-hmm. so long story short, he took all of that skill that he learned in the summers welding, and he ended up with an associate's in welding, an associate's in transfer degree. And he now works for Vigor Industrial. He started as a boilermaker. He transferred over as a steam fitter. So he's a journeyman steam fitter. Okay. Yep. And right now he's managing a multi-million-dollar project at 31 as a ship superintendent.
Nice.
And he's just doing
congratulations.
Good. And the best part about it is he gets to go to work, his wife. And my two grandkids, not his kids, my two grandkids, I guess I should say my wife's grandkids too. But, you know, Katie gets to stay home with Mason and Wyatt. It's just like, it's kind of like, this is nice. Mm-hmm. And I can borrow money from him now because he makes more.
Right.
But most importantly, he's happy at his job. But, absolutely. You know, the American education system, we got to sculpt it a little more because, like, my daughter's a third grade teacher in Kansas City, Missouri, and she's doing God's work there, teaching third grade, and she's loving it and she's thriving and she's lead teacher now, 5 years in the saddle there. But she embraced academics. So I think it's just, it's interesting to have a, you know, well, we have three kids, but of the two, you know, we got the, I'm going to the traits, and we obviously mm-hmm. we encouraged it. And then my daughter, both my wife and I are teachers as well. So, you know, that was the easy. Yeah. Do it. Educate the youth of America.
So you talked about your son on the baseball diamond, being able to problem solve or look at things and bring things into context.
Right.
And mm-hmm. one of the things we hear all the time from our clients and prospects and just people in general is that, you know, we tell us some today's youth, they don't know what to do next or how to go out or solve problems. Well, they know how to solve problems with their phone because they can YouTube it and find the solution. They don't necessarily retain the knowledge, but they can solve the problem, and it's just different. How are you what have you seen change over your decades of teaching experience of that, how to solve a problem? Is there a lot more collaboration? Is it a lot more like you were, go get it done and figure it out? And if I make three pieces of scrap, I make three pieces of scrap. What's kind of the trend you're seeing for problem solving with your students today?
I think it's teamwork amongst them in problem solving, because we run an open entry, open exit program. So I have 20 students, and three or four of them might be starting first term and then sprinkled through second, third, fourth term. So we go stick welding, wire welding, TIG welding, fabrication, and pipe. So depending upon where those students are at, they will collaborate with each other. I think, you know, it's funny because the first 10 years, I really struggled as an educator to try to formulate kind of my process, my teaching approach to showing somebody how to build something, because I can look at something and I'll be like, okay, I know how I'm going to approach that. And if you take it like a CAD class, it'll be design intent. And when I took my CAD class, I'm like, oh, that's fabrication intent, you know? How am I? I'm looking at my drawing. As you'll see, I've got drawings at my sister
back
in the 70s.
Old blueprints. The OG prints right there.
Yeah, right there. Well, but you take that and you're like, you know, how do I bend this piece of steel so I don't get blocked within the break and I can't remove it? I can, you know, get the cutting torch out to remove it, you know, and it's worthless. But I think it's the teamwork, which we promote. that, and that's part of the synergy that I'm seeing is that there's some students where, you know, I think, you know, I've been doing this like 35 years. I got it. I've explained it perfectly. And the student will be looking at me like, what? And then another student will come up and be like, oh, do this, this, and that. And the light goes on. And it's beautiful because, you know, I am all about, I don't care how you get it. Just get it and then build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to brag about this kid, Trent. You know, we're back at the plasma cutter and he's designed out a bumper and he threw a sheet down and he's cutting it on the plasma. And I, you know, he's done with it. The next day I'm over there and showing another student about it. And here comes Trent. And he's like, oh, yeah. And check this out. Check that out. You know, if you hit shift and then the arrow, that carriage is going to move faster. And I'm like, to my student, I said, see, every day I pull up to this thing, if I can learn one more thing, I'm that much further ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to go to the back room with Trent then because he's got his own little fab bay now in the back, building this bumper. And I'm like, dude, what are you going to do in life? I said, because right there, I just saw teacher. I mean, mm-hmm. you need to go get some experience. And you need to come back and give back because it was incredible. And that's just kind of the things I see. So when it comes to problem solving, it's like it's all of us. And sometimes we get on the phone. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody, but we will get on the phone and kind of research it. But a lot of what I've done, too, is I've kind of tried to design my curriculum over 30 years to where it's kind of building blocks. So if you start right at the Weld 111 and you work, you start to learn all the equipment. You start to learn its capabilities, obviously, to use it safely. And then you start figuring out like, oh, I'm not going to use the drill press to drill out 30 holes when I can use the iron worker to punch it in like half the time. Or just throw it on the plasma table and cut them all, right?
Depends on your tolerances. Mm. Depends on what's got to happen. Is it an as whole? Am I drilling it? Am I machining it later? Is it a finished mm-hmm. dimension? Is it TIR? What do you have to do in there? You got it, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like, oh, man. Yeah, you can punch it, but yeah, that's not going to work out well. You've just made
scrap.
But yep, I learned how to use a machine that I couldn't use for the make the part to make it to print.
Yes. Mm.
Mm. Right.
Absolutely.
So Matt, tell us the question that I know some of our audience members have is attracting these students. What is something that PCC is doing to help attract these students to actually want to be in the trades?
Well, you know, we obviously do the social marketing, social media. Mm-hmm. I think it's networking as well. You know, this is kind of crazy, but my wife teaches at Beaverton High School and she teaches the education pathway. And she mm-hmm. had a couple students come in and do a presentation. And they're like, Miss Shelley, does your husband work at Portland Community College? And their presentation was on our integrated education and training program, which I call him my brother, my colleague Aaron Reyes teaches. And it was just like, oh my God. So, and of course she's just like pounded in like, yeah, you got to go there. My husband works there, but you know, that networking started years ago too, because we have my wife and I's friend, Carrie Matsuo, she works over there as the career placement specialist. And we knew Carrie and her husband, John Matsuo, back when my 31-year-old son, Tanner, was playing Little League because they ran the Little League. So we're always pumping it. But probably one of our biggest things that we got going on right now, besides our personalities, we have a mobile welding trailer that we have put together. So I talked a little bit about our Swan Island Vigor, PCC Vigor industrial site. And my other brother, Todd Barnett, had this idea like, hey, we should get a mobile welder. Because, you know, he's from the Warm Springs Indian Reservation. He's like, I want to go give back to my people. And it kind of started mm-hmm. there. And one thing led to another. And now we've got a mobile welding trailer. It's painted yellow with PCC, and you got to give them big shout out to Union Pacific because they're a big funder. And Vigor Industrial was very, very involved in the trailer. And that's outfitted with 6 welding booths. And we can teach all of our welding processes in there. Well, that's we got to get it to site. So we're hauling it around with a tractor that truck that was purchased through our FRO Future Ready Oregon grant money from the state. So we're taking this out. It's brand new. We've piloted it now, beta tested it at OMIC. We've taken it out to Liberty High for 2 weeks. And it's funny. Networking. Another one of my brothers, Ken Madden with Madden Industrial Craftsman.
You're met in Oregon, him. Not Utah, right?
Yeah. I met Ken on a canned food drive where both our kids were Cub Scouts and we're walking the streets. And he's like, what? You're welding? What? You're Madden? But they're so excited now. They're wanting to, you know, go welding trailer 2.0, I hear. So, you know, so the word's getting out and a lot of it's social media and, you know, they kind of, our administrative staff these last couple years had said, well, then you have an idea, run, go do, what do we need to get things out of your way? And they literally moved. I mean, cause when we wrote our maritime curriculum, we were kind of in a, we had a major management philosophical change at school and we're just like, we're going to put everything on hold just so that we can get this under control and go. But our bosses went, no, they got this idea, industry supporting it. We really need to move on. And we did, and we got it done in a year. And now we're off in maritime classes, which by the way, those maritime courses for a career pathway can be offered in our trailer, mobile trailer as well. So it's just kind of, we had this magic moment here in education where we had time, money, more money. We had administrative support and industry was like, this is what we want. Can you guys get it done? And what can we do to help? And it was just like, you know, between Vigor, Industrial, Madden Industrial Craftsman, we had a Diversified Marine, you know, just that those three, not to mention all the other companies around, right? Kind of feel bad for leaving them out, but there's just so many that's like, yeah, we need welders. And the American Welding Society is like, yeah, we need welders. We need 360,000 welders between now and 2027.
Yeah. Good luck. All right. Yeah. And you're doing, and you're doing 30 and you got 30 at a time.
Yeah. But you know, really we are probably training 150 to 200 welders at Portland Community College among our three sites. And we got multiple shifts and we train for different departments for the diesel.
Yep.
That's why I had to schedule out this one because I was teaching a diesel welding class, which is an introductory welding class for our diesel students. But we got aviation. We got auto collision. I don't want to retire, you guys.
No, why?
I was so thrilled. A couple of years ago, I got eye surgery. I got my eyes straightened out. I was like, I almost when my surgeon came in to give me like the review, like, hey, your thumbs up. I almost jumped up, gave her a hug and kiss it. Thank you for extending my career for another 20 years.
Right,
man,
awesome. So Matt, if other educators listening to this or industry experts that want to engage your network to understand what you guys have done and how you did it and what it took to get some of those things done, how do people find you, connect with you, get in contact to be able to learn more about what success looks like from you guys and how to do it for themselves?
Oh my gosh. On LinkedIn.
Besides Instagram.
Yeah. On LinkedIn, I am Matt Scott, CWICWE. My email, mscott@pcc.edu. That is mscott@pcc.edu. Shoot me an email, get a hold of me. You know, it's funny you say that because literally last Monday I was just on a Zoom call for a school, Bergen Tech in New Jersey. They're setting up a weld shop. So I'm really excited to see what's happening with the youth, seeing how the resurgence of metal shop in general, whether it's woods, drafting and whatnot, they're coming back. It's coming back and I'm really, really excited about that. And I want to promote it. I'm a product of the metal shop, West High, Anchorage, Alaska. Bob Ruth ran a tight ship and man, we learned a lot. And, you know, he kicked me out of class, so I'd go to work for Bob Services Incorporated. And that got me started, you know. It's like I needed to.
Yeah. That's spectacular. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's Matt, awesome. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing and doing what you're doing for today's youth, for tomorrow's employees along the way and employers, so that we can continue to build a strong infrastructure internally here stateside and keep that skill and talent here versus going where we don't need to go get stuff done. So Get Her Done is coming back. So thank you for doing that.
Get her done.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, hey, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.